Greetings and welcome everyone. So glad you're here today, especially our guests. And we always love to have company, but really you only get to be company once. And after that, you're welcome to come back and you're part of the group. All right? Is that a deal? So happy you're here and that we get to worship together today. It's a wonderful day and we have a lot of good things going on. I want to tell you about some of it. There's significant dates and details in your bulletin this morning. I hope you'll take that with you and look at those things, put them on your calendar, and participate in the things that you can. Please take it with you and let it be a guide for your worship and remembering what we did this morning and of being reminded of the calendar of things that are going on. I invite you to participate in the life of this church in every way. With all of our folks and with all of our programs and outreach ministries, plenty of good things going on. You have a place here, and we welcome you. Our youth are going to the Galleria today for a skating trip, and I just haven't decided whether I'm going with them or not. I'd love to, but I'm afraid I might break something, like probably the ice. So y'all have a great time, and laugh and share fellowship together, share fun together. That's great. Today is Scout Sunday, and our Boy Scouts meet Mondays at 7, and I'm going to let you hear from them in a little bit. Bob Stachowiak is our Scoutmaster, and he's got staff here, and Tiffany Harrison is our Girl Scout Scoutmaster and Scout Mistress. And Scout leader, I guess, is the way to say that. And we are grateful for both of those organizations that are housed here in our building and for the work that they do with youth in our community and in service to the entire community. So I hope you'll use your worship guide, your bulletin, as a guide this morning. And I invite you to save it to keep the dates and put those on your calendar and keep these thoughts flowing and sharing ideas and stories about your church family with others. We have baptisms next Sunday, Linda King's grandchildren, and some of them are here today as well. And Linda and Trish King, I believe, are the grandparents. So we have that to look forward to next week, some sacred moments and joyful moments. And now our scouts, boys and girls, will help to lead us as we begin our worship today.
Good morning. My name is Bob Stachowiak. I'm the Scoutmaster of Boy Scout Troop 27. Please rise for the presentation of the colors. Color guard, attention. Color guard, advance. Color guard, halt. Color guard, assume formation. Color guard, about face. Color guard, present the colors. Salute. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Two. Please join me in the Boy Scout oath. Scout sign. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to obey the Scout law, to help other people at all times, keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. Please join me in the Scout law. The Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Two. And now Tiffany Harrison, troop leader of Girl Scout Troop 457, will lead us in the Girl Scout promise and the Girl Scout law.
Thank you. All right, girls, if you'll raise your right hand, and then you'll repeat after me the Girl Scout promise. On my honor, I will try to serve God and my country, to help people at all times, and to live by the Girl Scout law. And then you'll repeat the Girl Scout law. I will do my best to be honest and fair, friendly and helpful, considerate and caring, courageous and strong, responsible for what I say and do, and to respect myself and others, respect authority, use resources wisely, make the world a better place, and be a sister to every Girl Scout. Color guard, please post the colors. Color guard at ease. Thank you. You may be seated.
Of the nations. Redeem from war and hatred, all may come and go.
While we're standing, let us affirm our faith together with this creed. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, while you're standing, I invite you to share the peace of Christ and to greet one another in Christian love and fellowship. And if you want to let your children come down for the children's sermon in a few moments, now is that time. And Bob, our scoutmaster, is going to lead them. So join us down front. And in the meantime, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another with the love of the Lord.
Are we working? Okay. All right. So this morning I want to talk a little bit about the Scout Oath. Earlier in the program, both Scout troops recited their respective oaths, and they were surprisingly similar. But one thing I've noticed is it's easy to memorize something and just kind of recite it, regurgitate it, like, blah, 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 I will blah, 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 and do my duty to blah, blah, blah. It's really important that we think about the words that we're saying when we recite our Scout Oath and our Scout Law. So I'm going to start out by asking you, the very first three words of the oath for both groups is on my honor. Who can tell me what that means to say something on my honor? We say it every meeting at our troop meeting. Nobody has an idea, okay? When you say something on my honor, you're making a promise. That's why it's called an oath for us. It's called the Girl Scout promise for y'all. But you're making a promise that you're going to do something. So you're going to do what follows that statement. But so what is your honor? What is it? What is your honor? You're pledging on my honor. What is my honor? Does anybody know? Okay, your honor is who you are as a person. It's your character. It's your reputation. It's your personal integrity. That's what you're pledging when you say the Scout Oath. Okay, so let's move on. After you say on my honor, you say, the Boy Scouts say, I will do my best. The Girl Scouts say, I will try. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what does it mean to do your best? Okay, we don't have a lot of eager volunteers here. Okay, to do your best means you're not going to do it half-hearted, halfway. You're going to make an effort to do your best. And so even though the Girl Scouts say try, since you said before that, on my honor, when you say I'm going to try, it means you're going to make a concerted effort, right, to do that. Okay, so then we say we're going to do our duty to God. Now, at your age, what do you think your duty to God is? Okay, so your duty to God is to worship, to pray. I think God likes to have a conversation with us. You'll notice in your bulletins, there's a prayer list of people in need of prayer. And I truly believe that prayer is very powerful and can really, really help if we're all pulling in the same direction. Also, your duty to God is to what? To be a good person? Does anybody know what the golden rule is? Yes, I have a person that wants to say something. Yes. Exactly, to treat people the way you want to be treated. It's do unto others as you would have done unto you, right? The golden rule. Wouldn't the world be a wonderful place if everybody followed that rule? Think about how countries, the world could get along so much better if we all followed that. Okay, the other thing we pledge to do is our duty to our country. Does anybody have any thoughts about potentially at your age what could be things you do as duty to country? Sure. Sorry? Not sure. Okay. So what's things we could do? Okay, we want to be good citizens. We want to obey the law. We should have respect for people in authority, police officers and first aid respondents and whatnot. We also want to be good stewards of the environment, right? So like when we go camping, we want to leave the campsite. One of our policies is we always want to leave the campsite better than we found it. Another thing, you know, we can do is maybe promote recycling, not litter, you know, do things to protect the environment. So those are all things we can do to be respectful of our country and to do our duty. My scout troop puts up the flags on flag holidays here in town. They get up early in the morning before school to put those out. And I like to think that that's a patriotic thing that we do. And hopefully it reminds people in the community as they pass by on those days when those flags are out to think about all the servicemen and servicewomen and their families that have sacrificed so much for the freedoms that we enjoy. So that's a very patriotic thing that we can do as service to our country, duty to our country. So next time you recite your Scout Oath, think about the words that you're saying. Don't just recite them, you know, out of memory, out of rote, but think truly about the words that you're saying and what they mean. I could preach for hours on the rest of the Scout Oath and the Scout Law, but we're going to stop right there. But keep that in mind that when you say those things, try to really mean what you're saying, okay? Thank you. You can go back to your seats now. And the people that are helping the ushers can go to the back.
I think so.
Let's see, what's next? The Bridgeport Camp crew is going to share next.
You want to do that next?
Oh, you...
Scoutmasters next.
Let's do Scoutmasters. I thought... Go ahead and do what you're going to do with Scouts. Y'all hold up just a second.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. I've lost it. Tiffany, you want to come on up? Okay, so Scout Sunday is an opportunity for me personally to thank, to make some thank yous, to say some thank yous. Come on up, Tiffany. First and foremost, I want to thank the other Scout leaders that helped me run my program, Don Daffron and John Duro. John's relatively new. Don and I have been doing this for 2020 will mark our 25th anniversary as leaders of Troop 27 here at this church. It has... It is crazy to think about that number. But we've had a lot of fun. We think the principles of scouting that we just talked about somewhat, I think are vital and very important to our youth. And so we keep doing it. It helps keep us young. I also want to thank anyone here that's a member of the community that supports our flag program, business owners and stuff. That means a lot to us. That pays for all of the expenses that we have to do, and we don't have to go door-to-door selling popcorn. So we love our businesses that support our flag program. I want to thank the church for giving us a place to meet and a place to store our gear. That's also very important. My predecessor, Ken Ashley, used to store everything in his garage. My wife would not like that. So thank you for all of that. I do want to point out we would welcome to have more members. So if there's any youth between 11 and 18 that want to learn more about scouting, we have a bulletin board just inside the doorway, the covered walkway on the south side of the church. It's got my contact information on it. And when we meet Monday nights at 7 o'clock. So anyone that's interested, please come on out, and we'd love for you to join us.
Well, I don't want to repeat too much what Bob said, but I think that's why I want to speak this morning, just to say thank you as well. I am so thankful for my Scouts. We have 7 cadets, which are 5th and 6th grade, and we have 2 ambassadors, which are high school juniors. And we are so proud of those 9 girls. And I say we because I'm a co-troop leader with Frankie Haddock, and I have to say thank you to her. She's out of town today. But I also want to thank my parents who are there always supporting us, especially we just wrapped up our cookie season. You were talking about your flag program. Well, we went door-to-door and Walmart and Brookshire's, and every one of you, I believe, have bought cookies from one of my girls, and I just can't thank you enough for that. I also want to thank the church because you guys provide us with a place to meet, a safe place for us to have parties and play games and also store our cookies and basically do our Girl Scout business. And so we can't thank you enough, the church family, and our community. And so that's how I feel too. I'm just so appreciative for the program, for these girls, and for all of you.
Okay, you can do your Bridgeport.
Good morning. We're going to make this really quick for you guys. We wanted to take a moment to ask all of you for your help with this youth group. They're going to Bridgeport Camp this summer. We have about 12 kiddos who have signed up to go. And one of our most successful fundraisers has been stuffing the envelopes, which hopefully you found in your bulletins this morning. If you could donate to camp, we would really appreciate it. Every little bit helps. We're going to take a moment to let them tell you their favorite things about Bridgeport, starting with McLean.
My favorite part about Bridgeport was family groups.
I liked interest groups because you get to pick your event that you do for the day with people that like aren't from the same church.
My favorite was the worship.
My favorite was also worship.
So is mine.
My favorite was family group.
It's really fun to like meet up with your old friends that moved away at Bridgeport, and it's a whole new look on how you worship, so it's really fun to go there.
So this is some of our group that will be going. So if you could give $1, give $20, anything and everything helps. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And as a veteran of camping and camp leadership, I strongly affirm what you're doing, and it changes lives. So I'm glad you're involved, and others are too. And let's just add more of your friends to that list. God bless. So now it's time for the ushers to come and collect up our gifts and our offerings. And as we do that, I'd like for us to make sure that all that we give and every way that we serve God is an act of worship. So whatever you put in these offering plates this morning, the most important thing is what's in your heart and in your spirit and in your intentions. Let us pray. God, we pray your blessing upon these gifts. Bless the gifts and the givers. And keep us all in your will and your way. Amen.
Number 433, All Who Love and Serve Your City.
Oh,
Please take your seats, and as we do, let's begin our praying. And I just share with you one or two items. One yellow card I have this morning is a prayer request for Jerry Hutton's brother, Jim, who is in the hospital. And the other one is that I have word this morning that Barbara Gish is really struggling today. And so I'd like for us to pray for Barbara and Susan and their family. They're over at Oak Manor, and I'll be checking on them in a little while. So we also want to pray for our scouts and our leaders, Tiffany and Bob and Don and John. And we also need to pray for our campus leaders. The Texas A&M Commerce campus has had a challenging week. And because of that, all of us have had a challenging week. We want to pray for our students and for our counselors and staff. And I guess I have a burden for those who live in the shadows, whatever causes those shadows. We have people who live in the darkness, in the shade, under the clouds or something. Those who live in brokenness and fear. Those who have to live with fear of violence. For families, especially those trapped or threatened, and for all the young folks on both sides of this highway that feel trapped, living with poor decisions or living with poverty or challenges of other kinds. We want to pray for strong families and strong mentoring relationships with students. We want to pray for church family and those who are caught by raising young ones or caring for elders. All of that, for calmness and confidence, for peace in a broken world, and for hope and ultimate confidence in God, no matter what. With that confidence, let us make our prayers. God, we know that you love us and that you know us from the inside out, and we call you to calm our souls and spirits when we feel anxious, to make us strong and influential in the sense of mentoring others. Help us to be confident and bold in reaching out to those who are motherless or fatherless, who have no one close. Help us to find those students which are struggling and lonely and discouraged and reaching out and thinking that nobody is listening to them. Help us, God, through our campus ministry and through our influence as a church family and through all of the many employees and staff and professors that we have that are our agents on that side of the road. Help us to reach out to people who are hurting and to give calmness and hope and confidence and peace. God, we lift these prayers together along with prayers for each of our families, for our kids, grand and great, whether they're here or not today. We pray for them and lift them for hope and for good, healthy growth and for good decisions. And in that confidence, the confidence that we have in you, O God, we pray together and close our praying with the words that Jesus himself teaches us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Today's reading comes from the book of Psalms, number 112. This can be found in your pew Bible on page 532. This psalm details the blessings received by those who remain close to God by obedience to his commandments. The reading begins. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid in the end. They will look upon their foes in triumph. They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor. The wicked see it and are angry. They gnash their teeth and melt away. The desires of the wicked comes to nothing. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
I choose you to be my
I'd like to share with you today for the few minutes that we have left on Matthew 5, beginning with verse 13. I'll read a portion of the reading for today. Matthew 5, 13. These words are part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Part of what he taught the crowds when they sat down on that grassy hillside overlooking the Sea of Galilee. Here's part of what he said. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? It's good for nothing except to be thrown away and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on top of a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on the top of a lampstand, and it shines on all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before other people so that they can see the good things that you do and praise your Father who is in heaven. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Here in Matthew's version of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' words are marked with the phrase, I say to you. It's one word in Hebrew. That word that's translated, I say to you, is the word that we call Amen. And it means, so be it. We call it Amen. But apparently it is an ancient word. That word, Amen, in Hebrew, is a declaration that's first found in the Hebrew Bible. That's the Old Testament, the left-hand side of the Bible. Subsequently in the New Testament. But really, it's even older than that. The literal meaning of that word, Amen, is the truth has been spoken. Sometimes in the New Testament, you've probably heard the words where Jesus says, yea, verily, I say unto you, something like that. And what is in the old languages there that gets translated, yea, verily, is Amen. A-M-E-N. The word that we say at the end of a prayer, in the name of Jesus we pray, Amen. Amen. It is an ancient word, and it's worth learning about. It is spoken to express ratification or agreement. It means make it so or let it be. Now that should ring a bell. The song, Let It Be, the Beatles, with that record at the time, made their career of 7 number one hits, 7 years in a row. How about that? Year-long number one hits. They shared that achievement only with Elvis Presley. But in the song that they recorded called Let It Be, this is the song that made that hit for them, Linda McCartney's voice is in there. And she's used for backing vocals in the song. But the song was sung by Paul McCartney and George Harrison and Ringo Starr during Linda McCartney's memorial service in 1998. It says, and it's profound, the words from Let It Be, and when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Shine until tomorrow. Let it be. Let it be. Does that not sound holy in that context? There's a lot of holy things in our music culture. There's a lot of unholy things too, yeah, but we won't do with that today. But it goes on. It says, I wake up to the sound of music. Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. And it ends with the hope-filled words, there will be an answer. Let it be. So I think that when we talk about the word Amen as an agreement word, as an affirmation word, maybe Maybe the words, the phrase, "let it be," is a pretty good way to say that, because that's really what amen means. It means, "make it so, Lord." When we say all our prayers and we say, "I pray in the name of Jesus, amen," we're saying, "make it so, God. We trust you and count on you to seal us." There's another way to understand this Hebrew word, and it's wait for it. It is expect. It is hope for it. In old churches, there was an amen corner, or amen corner, they most likely called it. The pews near the back of the church where some of the most faithful people would sit. Maybe the most vocal ones too, I guess, because they were the ones that would stand up and say amen. Maybe the most revealing parts of the sermon were where they spoke up affirmatively. Or maybe the more revealing parts are the ones where they didn't speak up. But it's interesting that this word has become so prominent in our use, but it's such an ancient word. The word dates back pretty much as far as written history, even in the Jewish texts. It means, so be it, let it be so. There's some other things about the word. I'll skip some of them. But it's interesting that it's not just used by Jews and Christians. It's used by Muslims as well. And so in that sense, it's an ecumenical, a world religion kind of word. That's how old it is. One of the many names attributed to Jesus in the New Testament is the Amen, the Eternal One, the Faithful and True Witness. That's in Revelation 3. The last word of the Old Testament is curse. It appears in Malachi. But the last word in the New Testament is Amen, Amen. It says, the word, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, to find out some of these things about the word amen, I did a voice search on my phone, just like some of you would have done if you were looking it up, and you may decide to do that later today, especially if you're under 50 or maybe if you're over 50. So pretty much everybody, right? But I did a voice search on the word amen, and my phone responded first with, Google didn't recognize the word, to tell you the truth. My phone responded, instead of with amen, it was with, oh, man. And I thought, that's not right. I did it again, and I said it more clearly, amen. And it responded with, hey, man. I tried it again, and it gave me a website. When I said amen, it gave me a website for Harmony Inn, which is a sweet little bed and breakfast in Harmony, Pennsylvania. But the best one, and the one I'm holding on to, was the third time I tried it. I never did get it to tell me what the meaning of the word was. I had to look that up myself. But the third time I said, and I'm maybe getting a little impatient by this point, I said, amen. And it returned the phrase. This honestly happened. I said, amen, and it returned the phrase, I'm in. And I liked that one. I bought that one. Because that is exactly what amen means. It means, count me in. I approve. I affirm. That's why we have an amen corner in some of the churches. When the pastor says something really good, people are supposed to say, amen. Amen! Right? Not that that happens very often, but when we pray our best, we are saying to God, I'm in. Use me. Count on me. I'm your disciple. Can we say that? How do you follow Jesus? How do you welcome the influence of Christ in your life, the seasoning of the Spirit? How do you say, amen? If you are being sincere about it, what you're really saying is I'm in. We don't just ask God to do everything for us. We ask God to guide us and to give us tools to be good disciples, to make a difference in our world. How do you welcome the light of Christ to shine through you? Or does the light just shine on you and leave behind you only shadows? Jesus expects his followers to be salt and light in the world, to season our surroundings with hope, and then to shine that light in the darkest places. Let it be so, and I'm in on that. If today's the day for you to jump into the life of faith and the life of the church, or to jump into membership in this congregation, we'd be happy to serve by your side along with you. And if you would like to do that, we would welcome you to come during the singing of this hymn we call our hymn of invitation, to come and profess your faith in the grace of God through Jesus Christ, or to transfer your membership into this congregation of United Methodist people. We would be honored to serve with you. Let us rise as we sing together. Tyler? Light of Christ. So as these acolytes bear the flame and we follow it out and be the light of Christ in the world, I'd like to have you affirm with me. I'm in. Are you?
I'm in.
Amen. I'm in. Let's go.